It's here and now. This past weekend, we were transported to 19th century Russia at Broadway's Imperial Theater, which has been transformed into a Russian cabaret in the new glorious musical Natasha and Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. The show's creator, playwright and composer Dave Malloy, decided to model the stage on a cafe he discovered while traveling in Moscow. Patrons like him sat alongside musicians.
And the entire place was packed with people. Everyone had vodka and dumplings on the table, and everyone had these little shakers on the table, these handmade shakers, and so everyone was shaking along with this music. Yeah, it was during the middle of that evening when I was like, oh, this is the place that Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 should happen. Like, this is the world that we want to live in.
So we had our shakers. In the audience, we were handed little egg-shaped shakers to play along with orchestra members scattered throughout the house. As the story unfolds, Napoleon's army is on the outskirts of Moscow. In the city, frantic, vodka-soaked, carousing, affairs, angst. It's based on 70 pages of Tolstoy's War and Peace. And we're told at the outset, it gets complicated. Consult your program.
This is on your program. You are at the opera. You gotta have to study up a little.
You know, when I first read the book, these 70 pages really sang out to me immediately in that there were these kind of these two couples. And a lot of times musicals will have like kind of two romantic couples, like the lead romantic couple and then like the funny couple. And in this show, there was Natasha and Anatole, and they were kind of like the lead sexy romantic couple. And then the other couple was Pierre and God, or Pierre and his existential life crisis. And I loved that kind of subversion of the form.
He also threw out other theater conventions. The actors run up wooden stairs to the balcony. We were part of the audience that was actually sitting at cafe tables on stage, right under star Josh Groban's nose. Here's director Rachel Chavkin.
It just became clear that there was going to be no stage, or that everywhere would be the stage.
Did you worry that those who were not on the stage would either feel distracted by the people on the stage or feel jealous that, wait, I'm not on the stage, looking up Josh Groban's nose?
Well, I think the biggest concern was just maintaining a sense of intimacy for everyone. And so for those people that couldn't be on the stage, we had to, in effect, bring the stage to them.
Light burst into the room, and I saw you rise, and I saw you smile, and the world opened wide.
The show stars Danae Benton as Natasha.
And I catch my breath, and I laugh and blush, and I hear guitar.
And recording star Josh Groban as Pierre, both in their Broadway debuts.
I die in my sleep. They say we are asleep until we fall. So ready.
Look out.
Hello.
Doggy.
Sorry.
Hi. Hey, buddy.
After the show, we visited Josh and his ferocious, actually not at all guard dog, the equally famous to fans, Wheaton Terrier Sweeney.
And who's this?
This is Sweeney.
Hi, Sweeney. We don't have a puppy here.
Demon puppy of Fleet Street.
And tried to describe sitting on stage a foot underneath Josh as he performed.
I don't know how to describe that I actually felt your breath and I could see in your nose.
Yeah, that's I don't know. You either get what you pay for or you want a refund after that. But we certainly get up close and personal with everybody.
I want to talk about that, but just being on stage. Now, you are a superstar. And you have performed for thousands at a time.
Yes.
But what's it like to be in that ensemble?
It's unlike anything I've experienced in my career, and I've done a lot of things. To be a cog in this beautiful wheel and to not have to be a solo, but to be part of a team of so many people, many of which are making their debuts along with me in this show that we all love so much. We can't wait to walk through the stage door and leave our troubles behind us each day.
Just a little bit more on that, because members of the audience are sitting on the stage. I mean, my heart was racing to be surrounded by people exalting, grieving at one point. Mm-hmm. There was an actress sitting, we were knocking knees, and she was sobbing.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. No two shows were the same for us. You know, to have new faces and new spirits in the room that are interacting with us, and that was the X factor that we couldn't wait for, because that educates us as to how we continue our scene, how we do our solos.
There was one moment where there was a kind of a stout man in the front row who was charged with handing a letter over, and he gave it with a flourish. It was
oh yes, it was like he was called to action, and he's in the show now. His audition paid off. People sometimes don't know how to react when they're asked to be part of it. Sometimes you get a negative feeling, and sometimes you get people that are ready to party.
Talk about your character, Pierre. We understand that you have performed in a play before.
Yes. I was a theater student, and then I got plucked into this world of recorded music, and it's something I've missed so very much. And I haven't donned a beard and gone out and sung theater songs since I was Tevye at the age of 17. So
Fiddler.
And Fiddler. So it's a lifelong dream come true, for sure.
So two things there. There's hope for all the Tevyes in their high school productions.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
If you're a high school Tevye, I didn't even start as Tevye. I was originally Perchik, and then I worked my way up to Tevye. So even if you're a high school Perchik, you can eventually find yourself on the Broadway boards.
But tell me about Pierre, inhabiting Pierre, a broken man, an alcoholic, a slumped shoulders. You're Josh Groban, and things are going pretty well for you. So
yeah, we all have sometimes the questions, the existential questions that Pierre has, especially right now. I think a lot of people are questioning things. And there's a sadness to Pierre that is understandable because of where he is socially. And he knows his wife doesn't love him. Pierre is just full of inner turmoil.
How do you bring him to the stage? One way we know is that you have a little bit of a fat suit on.
Yeah, so I've got a padded suit, which definitely helps with some of the physicality. But other than that, working with Rachel Chavkin, we did a lot of work together to really find Pierre in me. We did movement work. How does he dance? You know, it's not going to be good. How does he fight? How does he go from being this meek, don't mind me, Eeyore kind of thanks for noticing me kind of character to all of a sudden tossing this rogue across his desk?
I was struck when you were singing one of the big numbers. It's the one, there was a beautiful line, squandered my...
Did I squander my divinity? Was happiness within me the whole time? Yeah, Dust and Ashes, great song.
Did I squander my divinity? Was happiness within me the whole time? They say we are asleep until we fall in love. We are children of dark.
I was struck by how there might have been a raised, clenched fist to the sky, or a bitten knuckle, or a hand to the forehead as this character agonized. And you did hardly anything physical.
We did make a conscious decision for much of those kinds of songs to keep it as internal as possible, that if you sing it with honesty and you think it with intensity, that it will come across. And that was a great, very freeing lesson for me.
Look, you're Josh Groban, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Stunning voice.
Thank you.
But you're on Broadway. You know, the Broadway crowd, they sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. They don't make a lot. You know, they're like these gypsies in many ways. And yet they're some of the most talented people.
Without question.
Do you ever find yourself thinking, wow?
I say wow all the time, this whole show.
Anatole is hot. He spends his money on women and wine.
He spends his money on women and wine. Anatole's hot.
We left Josh after Sweeney gently gnawed on producer Karen's jacket.
He didn't do any damage
to it.
I will say, my dog is so funny. He's like a toddler. Notice me, notice me, notice me. He plays with his toy that he didn't care about all day long. He goes and finds him. Maybe I'll just go sniff in the trash.
Surely they've come to interview me. Back in the theater, Natasha and Pierre and the Comet of 1812 creator David Malloy and director Rachel Chavkin look exhausted. It's the weekend before opening night. Well, are you both feeling, David and Rachel, that, you know, perhaps, I mean, I don't know if Josh Groban will attract anyone to Broadway, but that perhaps you have a hit on your hands.
I mean, who knows? We'll find out soon.
Yeah,
enough.
I just keep touching. I touch wood a lot. I'm very superstitious.
they needn't have worried. It opened Monday. The reviews were raves. I prefer it to Hamilton, says the New York Times' Chris Isherwood. But on this visit, before those reviews, David Malloy was thinking about the years that led up to this moment, of how he once played Pierre in small off-Broadway venues. He was also thinking about the Great Comet of 1812, which makes its glorious appearance in the last few moments of the musical, when all seems lost for Natasha, who's fallen, and Pierre, who can't seem to rise.
And their scene at the end is just heartbreaking and heart-shattering. And Pierre's interaction with the comet afterwards, like, I was just bawling uncontrollably at the end of it. And I still, to this day, can't read that final paragraph without crying. And so I knew I wanted to make a musical of it someday.
And this bright star, having traced its parabola with inexpressible speed through immeasurable space.
Yes, great comet writer and composer Dave Malloy, who here also sings the role of Pierre. This is 4 years ago when his idea of a musical was born in a small off-Broadway theater. He's now replaced himself with Josh Groban. The Imperial Theater is much bigger, and so are the notices. For more on Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812, go to hearandnow.org.